Good evening. Can you hear me? I hope so. It is great to be here tonight to worship together with you. It's great to see so many people here, especially after the reaction whenever y'all were told that I wasn't speaking last Sunday. I'm really surprised to see this many people here after that. Tonight I'd really like to talk to you about something that I'm excited about. Tonight I'd like to speak with you about three people in the Bible who were very excited to see Jesus. In the 1939 movie, The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy meets three friends, the Tin Man, the Lion, and the Scarecrow. They're on this journey through the land of Oz to meet the great and powerful, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. They go through this journey, they go through so many trials, so many different obstacles that get in their way. And then they finally get there. They finally get to see the great, wonderful Wizard of Oz. Probably one of the saddest and most disappointing parts of that entire movie is whenever you find out that the Wizard of Oz is nothing more than a man behind a curtain. They had all this anticipation. They had all this longing to see this man to help them with all their problems. And they get there, and it's nothing at all like they expected. It's probably one of the saddest parts of the entire movie. I mean, do you ever feel that way? Like, you want to see something so bad. You want something so bad, and you get there, and it just completely doesn't fulfill your expectations. When my family went to the beach a couple weeks ago in Charleston, my grandparents loved to go see old things. Anything old, they love to go see it and explore. They wanted to go see Fort Sumter. They asked me and Allie to go, and we, using our better judgment, said no. And we went and explored the city all day, got lost, got hot, and we were miserable. They came back, and we were expecting them to tell us about their great time at Fort Sumter, how amazing it was. They came back and said, it was terrible. We're never going there again. They said, we thought it was going to be amazing. We thought Fort Sumter was going to be awesome. So much history there. And it was an island with a whole bunch of dead grass and a few cannons. And that's pretty much it. They said it was miserably hot. And it just didn't live up to their expectations. That happens a lot of times in movies. We see the first movie and we're so excited about it. The first movie is so great. And then they come out with the sequel. For some reason, number two is always worse than number one. Always. And it's the same thing. For some reason, some people decided to go ahead and make a number three, even though number two wasn't so good. Jesus is one of those few things in life that when we really want to see Him and we really want to seek Him, He isn't going to let us down. He's one of those things that we can set our expectations and we can know that those expectations and those needs are going to be met. Tonight, like I said, I'd like to talk to you about three different groups of people in the Bible who wanted to see Jesus and what we can take from that. The first one is found in Mark chapter 2. If you want to go ahead and turn there. Mark chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. In Mark chapter 2 is where we meet a man who his faith would not be denied. Not by anything. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, and when he returned to Capernaum, talking about Jesus, after some days, it was reported that he was home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. In Palestine at this time, life was very public for the people. Every morning, the people would go and open up their door to their house. And that meant that anybody could come and go all day as they pleased. If their door was shut, it was obviously a sign of privacy. But due to their door being open, anybody could come into their house. These people had heard about Jesus being at that house, and the house was flooded, as you can imagine. There were so many people. You know, Jesus had just started his ministry in Mark chapter 1. We said that he healed a man with an unclean spirit. He had healed Simon's mother-in-law, and he had healed a leper. Surely these men and women had heard of the great things that Jesus had done, and they wanted to witness it for themselves. They wanted to hear this man speak, and they wanted to see a miracle. So they're all at this house. Going on in verse 3, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. The way that the house was set up in Palestine at this time is they had a flat roof on top with some stairs probably go up it. And this is what they used to lounge on every day. So these men try to come see Jesus, and they bring their friend who needs him. But they can't get in because of all the people that we just heard about. So what do? They climb up on the roof and decide to dig a hole. The way these roofs were made, it had these long timbers going across, probably about 3 feet apart from each other. And in between those timbers was clay, grass, and straw. And that's what was there. So they decided to dig out a little hole because it wouldn't destroy the whole roof. and let their friend down. Jesus saw this, and we see it in verse 5. And it says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus healed him right there. But he said, son, your sins are forgiven. He didn't really heal him, did he? The reason he said it this way is because the Jews connected sin and suffering together. The Jews thought that if you were suffering in life, if you had something wrong with you, it's probably because you had sinned before. So Jesus realizes this, and he goes on later on in verse 11. He says, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we had never saw anything like this. These men believed in Jesus, and they believed in his power to heal. I mean, surely they had heard about the great things that he'd done before, and they knew of their friend, the paralytic, who needed help. So they thought to each other, and they said, we need to go see Jesus. He's the one who can help us. This story tells us of five men who believed in the power of Jesus and believed in his power to heal. And they were going to stop at absolutely nothing to get their friend to him. Sometimes obstacles get in our way of seeing Jesus. We need to be more like these men in this story to where we don't let them get in our way. Sometimes we're going to have to metaphorically, hopefully not physically, dig a hole in a roof. We're going to have to do whatever we can to see Jesus. And we're going to need to make sure that our faith isn't denied. The second story I'd like to talk to you about is found in Luke chapter 19, if you want to turn there. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Many of you probably recognize this story, probably almost everybody. Luke chapter 19 is the story of Zacchaeus. We learn about Zacchaeus in chapter 1, in verse 1, I'm sorry. It says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. We're introduced to Zacchaeus, the man who was the head of his profession. He had worked hard, and he was at the top. But that wasn't all sunshine and roses for him. Being the chief tax collector meant that he was hated by the people. He collected taxes for the Roman government, and the Jews did not like that. So he could try to fight through the crowd to see Jesus. Because he was short, he couldn't just stand up in the back. But because of his standing with the public, he probably wouldn't make it through the crowd very well. Somebody would probably throw an elbow here or there or try to push him out because they didn't even like him. But instead of giving up, Zacchaeus showed great perseverance, and he ran ahead and climbed the famous sycamore tree. Verse 3 tells us that he was seeking to see who Jesus was. This was a man who'd heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see him for himself. He wasn't satisfied with just hearing the stories. He wanted to go see for himself what Jesus was all about. Reading on in verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed up in the sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry down, for I must come and stay at your house today. So he hurried down and came and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of this man who is a sinner. All the people were like, really, Jesus? The Jesus Christ is going to go stay at the house of this man? This sinner? That's who Jesus is going to go stay with? Jesus called this man by name, and these people were judgmental about it. But it shouldn't be a surprise to them. It really shouldn't. Who did Jesus really spend most of his time with when he was here on earth? Jesus didn't come to earth to check on the holy, to check on the righteous. But rather, as we see at the end, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Sometimes we're like those people. Sometimes we're very quick to push somebody away just because they're a sinner. There was once a town drunk, and he decided that he was going to change his ways. He decided he wanted to stop drinking and go to church. So one Sunday morning, he decided, this is it. I'm going to do it. He goes to the first Church of Christ that he saw, because they had given him an invitation one time on a little business card. He goes in there, and he stops. He's stopped by these two ushers at the door, and they say, hey, you can't come in here right now. Please go home, clean up, take a bath, shave your face, cut your hair, and just please come back another time. So he did as they asked. He went home, he cleaned up, did everything. He came back next week, and he was met by the same ushers. He said, hey, look, here I am. I got my hair brushed back. My face is clean. I took a shower this morning. I didn't shave my face. The usher said, you know, this is good. We're proud of you for that. But your clothes, they're dirty. They're torn up. Go get yourself a suit. Then come back next Sunday. So the man, he was kind of sad about this, but he really wanted to worship God. So he went out and bought him a nice suit and came back the next Sunday. When he came back, this time he was met by the same two ushers and the preacher. He said, "Here I am. I'm ready to worship God today. I'm here and I'm ready." And this is what the three men said. They said, "You cannot come in here. How is it going to look to the town if the town drunk is here worshiping with us?" The man was sad. He was completely devastated that even though he was trying to change, the people wouldn't welcome him in. He sat there and cried. The one church who had welcomed him to come to church one time ended up not doing it. This sounds like a sad story that doesn't ever happen, but the sad part is it does happen. I know a man who I respect dearly. He would do anything for his children, and he loves them greatly. But because of something that he had happen in his life, the church pushed him away. The church said, "You know, maybe you shouldn't come here. Maybe you don't need to do this." And that's devastating to me. That is completely awful to think that a church could push somebody away because they're a sinner. And what I really want us all to think about is the church is not a haven for saints. The church isn't a place for holy people to come and hang out. The church is really a hospital for sinners. The church is a place that sinners should be able to come and learn about Jesus, become a Christian, and change their life. Because none of us in here are perfect. Not a single person in here can say, "I got it all figured out." We all come here every single week to learn more and to be a better Christian every single day. We need to make sure that we're not caught in the same trap of those people who say, "You know what? Maybe you shouldn't be with that person. Maybe that person shouldn't come worship with us." Because as it says in verse 10 of Luke chapter 19, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Like I said already, Jesus didn't come to associate with the holy. Jesus didn't come to see how the righteous were doing. Jesus came to seek and to save the sinners. Where I really want us to take from this story, though, is that Zacchaeus didn't give up. Zacchaeus was short, and he had a bad reputation, but he wasn't going to let that get in the way of him seeing Jesus. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so bad that he did something that probably most children would do. No grown man would go climb a tree, but Zacchaeus went and climbed a tree just so that he could see Jesus. We need to be the same way. We need to make sure that we're not letting the people in front of us hinder us from seeing Jesus. Lastly, I'd like for us to look at the woman with bleeding in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, starting verse 25, we're introduced to a woman who had had a bleeding disorder for 12 years. Verse 26 tells us that she had spent everything that she had trying to go to doctors to get them to fix it, but they couldn't fix it. In Mark's account of this version, he even says that the doctors made her condition worse. You know, they were trying to solve it, but they just couldn't do it. Let's look now in verse 27. It says, "She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I touch even his garments, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease." She had faith that Jesus could heal her. I mean, can you imagine being in her situation? She had spent everything that she had going to all these doctors, and it didn't help her at all. All it did was make her condition worse. But she knew that Jesus was the one who could do it. And she knew that even if she just touched his robe, Jesus could heal her. That's somebody who really wanted to see Jesus. That's somebody who really needed Jesus in her life. I mean, she had been an outcast for 12 years. Because of her condition, she was considered unclean, and any pious Jew would not go near her. And she obviously didn't want to suffer from the embarrassment of asking Jesus to help. So she thought, "I can just touch his garment and everything will be okay." But the amazing thing is verse 29 says she was healed immediately. Jesus didn't even do anything but exist, and she was healed. And that's amazing to think about, but Jesus felt it happen. Jesus knew what happened. He said, "Who touched me?" And all his disciples are looking around. They're like, "Jesus, we're in a big crowd right now. How are you going to ask who touched you?" You know, they're kind of curious what's wrong with them. But he says, "No, I know somebody touched me." And he looked around to see who did it. Verse 33 says, "But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." You know, maybe she was scared to tell him that she, an unclean woman, had touched him, a pious Jew. Or maybe she was sad because he was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, and she had somehow delayed that. For some reason, she was scared to tell Jesus what happened. But then we see she came and she fell down before Jesus, and she told him everything. Her faith had paid off. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." This is a woman who really wanted to see Jesus, but she knew and she had faith that Jesus was the one. I mean, can you just imagine all those doctors, all that money spent? Would you really want to try one more? But if it's Jesus, why not? She knew that Jesus had the power to heal her. You know, whenever we're struggling, we need to remember that Jesus is the one who can heal us. We need to remember that Jesus is the great physician and that he is able to help us. So what about us? How does this all fit with us? Do we really strive to see Jesus? Do we really try to see Jesus every single day? I mean, we just heard three stories of people who went through great lengths just to see Jesus. Are we one of those people? Are we somebody who would go through anything just to be able to see Jesus? I mean, all these people sought him for a different reason, but Jesus was able to fulfill every single reason. Jesus was able to fulfill their every desire. Sometimes we think about it and we say, Jesus can't help me with that. He doesn't really care. God doesn't really care about this small thing going on in my life. But that's not true at all. God and Jesus is able to help us in anything that we have going on in our life. Sometimes we just forget. Sometimes we forget that Jesus is the great physician, that he is able to heal us. Sometimes we find ourselves being like the crowd. Sometimes we find ourselves pushing people away from Jesus. That's a scary thing to do. It really is. We need to be a church that welcomes anybody to Jesus, because that's exactly what Jesus would do himself. It's important that we all try to see Jesus more in our everyday life. It's important that as we're going out, going to work, going to school, whatever we're doing, we're looking for Jesus. We're looking for the one man who can help us with all of our problems. Have you had the same desire to see Jesus lately? Has it dwindled a little bit? Have you really wanted to see Jesus every single day? You know, we think that he's not there, but he always is. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that Jesus is really there for us whenever we need him the most. We've come to the point where the invitation is yours. We've come to the point where you have to think for yourself, am I where I need to be with Jesus and with God right now? Am I seeking him every single day? Am I trying to do whatever I can to bring others to him? I would like to encourage everybody here tonight to have a stronger desire to see Jesus. No matter what level you're at right now in that, it can always grow. We read about three people who wanted to see Jesus. And I think that we all need to be more and more like them every single day to not let anything get in the way of us seeing Jesus. Maybe you haven't seen him before, and maybe you'd like to be baptized tonight. Or maybe you have seen Jesus, and your desire has kind of gone down. I don't know what your need is, but you do. And if we can help you in any way, please come forward as together we stand and as we sing.